Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, I have dreamed a dream of every common man. Time. I have sworn by my blood, as your man, my love, that one day, I promise one day your heartache will stop. But I've never, 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 never changed. I've never changed one single grain of sand. Just love in a common man. I want to thank you this evening. Oh, I thought that I felt you so. But that's when you turn around and look me in my eyes and you let me know. You said, and you said it softly, I didn't have to worry about being a common man. You said, David, you don't have to worry about rising to the top. You said, I didn't have to swear by my blood. But oh, baby, that one day your heartache would stop. Then you put your arms around me and you said, you never, 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 never cared. If I never change one single grain of sand, you said, I love. Common man. Well, my gratitude just keep on growing. Yeah, for recognizing me. I thank you, baby. Yeah, for respecting me. Yeah, I won't thank you, baby. For in a time of need.
We're back. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the presence of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly SalaamJonah.com, SalaamJonah.org, which is now the Hiram 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth, bar none, anywhere on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, liberation, and edification. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, No More Options for the Empire. America is playing the dead man's hand. Now, brothers and sisters, before we go on the show, let me say something to you all. I'm glad to be back on the air, but you know how it is. When this devil gets mad at one of these shows, he blocks me, blocks me, blocks. He even blocks the replays. He tells me that I can play replays, then he blocks the replays to keep you guys from coming in and listening to the show. So don't be mad at me, and I would ask all of you all to please show appreciation and donate to the Hiram 1555 blog. I rarely ask for that, but I'm asking you all to show your love, because these shows take a lot of time to get clips. It's on a daily grind. I thought about this. A person brought this up. They sent me a private message, and they were talking about a few things, because I was answering a lot of emails, and this is a lot of stuff to do for one person, to keep articles going every day, to do premium articles, to program shows, to look up all this stuff. What you get is the finished product. You don't get the laborious hours behind the scenes. You see what I'm saying? And I'm asking you, do your Zagat, your charity, and help the show and help the website to go. As I was saying to you before we get into the show, I got a private message, and one guy made it. He said he was talking about Turkey, and he was saying, "Brother, I never heard it anywhere else but your show." He said about what's going on with Turkey in the Middle East, and this is what I'm saying: the stuff that we touch upon on this show, that we go in depth upon, you don't hear it from nobody else. Some of them understand it, but some of them just can't articulate it, and others know these things but refuse to tell you these things because they want to keep you into this la-la land. I think a lot of the so-called ministers and so-called shepherds of the flock, they keep you into this church mind. Oh, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says this, and they teach you in line with what the preachers of the churches teach you. They don't give you any manna, any food from heaven, anything that's going to satisfy your soul. They lull you to sleep constantly with these preaching sermons and stuff. They don't connect the dots to let you understand and help you to understand what exactly is going on. Okay? I just got, Brother Rashid, and you just listening, I just got a message from one of the contacts. I got to share some of this information with you and a couple of the other brothers behind the scene. I've been really behind the eight ball on time, and I want to apologize to you brothers, because you brothers do support the show. I want to really apologize to you. On the air, I want to do this, because sometimes we push off things and we don't realize that tomorrow is not promised to us. But let me get to something. So as I was telling you, and we're going to go into the show about no more options left for the empire, America is playing the dead man's hand. Well, also, I'm receiving, my wife and my mom brought, well, my mom brought this up a few days ago, and we were talking about this last week. And she says, in our conversation, we brought up that I've been on the air for 10 years. 10 years still not receiving the support that we're supposed to receive from the brothers and sisters, the backing from 10 years. This show is a spiritual life changer. And I'm not just saying, but I'm showing and proving the messengers, teachers on a daily basis. I want you to understand this. In 10 years, we've done 6 books, right? We've done over one, listen to me good, whether they're reposted or written articles, we've done over 100,000 articles. I want you to understand that. Think about how dedicated a person must be. And then when we break down the show, we have done a show every 2 days for 10 years. You show me another man that has been this dedicated to getting the truth and presenting the messenger's truth without any addition or subtraction, and then proving them through world events. You show me that. So this is something that I want to show to you. Now, I want to also make this clear before we jump into this. They have been blocking the phone lines today. So what you're listening to me on is a earpiece, okay? So if I get disconnected, this is connected to the cell phone because they're messing with the lines. They constantly do this. So if I get disconnected, brothers and sisters, those of you who are listening via URL, stay on your URL and let me try to find a way to get back on here. Also, for those of you who are listening via cell phone or house phone or whatever, don't hang up. Give me 2 to 5 minutes to get back online. The dead spot will leave when the show is replayed or whatever, okay? So that being said, we got all the formalities out the way. I'm glad to talk to you again. What we're looking at is America's options are out of, she's out of option. And she's playing a dead man's hand. Now, in geopolitical terms, for those of you who are not familiar with this, the dead man's hand is when you have nothing left and you are losing everything and you've been hit by a major strike and there's no one to retaliate, right? You go on you leave it in the hands of a computer or maybe one or two people who are left to retaliate, and you go on a scorched earth policy. That means if I can't move, I'm killing everybody, right? This is that dead man hands that she's playing right now. Brothers and sisters, and it's not just America. It's the daughters of Babylon who are on this, and they're trying to get in a coalition of their brethren to try to maintain Western rule. Do you know that right now there are French troops in Mali? We know that, right? Do you know that now Britain says they're going to deploy 250 more troops to Mali to fight terrorism? Brothers and sisters, what is this going on? Britain says that they're going to deploy a few more warships to the Persian Gulf. Britain has talked about they have put together a coalition outside of America's warships that's in the Persian Gulf to try to police the Persian Gulf. What is this saying to you? If this is European nations doing this, and European nations thinking that they're the exception to the rule, and European nations deploying warships and troops and warplanes and guns and all types and all manners of weapons of destruction on the borders of other nations, what is this showing you? Remember this, that America is the greatest and the most powerful and the strongest pillar of Western domination, of colonialism, or white power. Her brethren are being called in to try to help stop all of the fissures and the cracks that are breaking in the dam of Western superiority. They're getting ready to play the dead man's hand. Remember that you heard it here on the show. We told you that when this thing takes place in the Middle Eastern North African region, or the MENA region, M-E-N-A, the acronym for Middle Eastern North African region, that this thing will be regional. It ain't gonna just, you're not just gonna bomb Syria and that's gonna be it. You're not just gonna bomb Lebanon and that's gonna be it. You're not just gonna hit Libya or Mali and that's gonna be it. Do you see how just bombing Libya has led to the explosion in Tempest in Mali? Do you see how all of North Africa is on edge because of what took place in Libya? Do you see how all of the Middle East has been set ablaze right now because of the actions in Libya? Remember that you heard it here and only here, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that Libya would play a part in the fall of America. They lit that match, and it was already a smoldering ember throughout North Africa and the Middle Eastern region of the dissatisfaction of the people over Western colonialism and the Western usurpation of international law. And now, this thing is brought into the forefront. Oh, man, I wish you would understand. So I'm going to share something with you that's in line of what we're talking about, and to show you just how on the money that we are. On July 19th, 2019, right, I wrote this premium article. The title of it and the picture of it is a nuclear mushroom cloud in the sky. The whole area is orange to give you a visual perspective of what's going on, okay? And I hope this thing doesn't knock me off the air while I'm talking to you all. I got to be mindful of this thing. If I get knocked off or muted, please immediately raise your hand to inform me because I'm still looking at the screen, okay? To inform me, to let me know, and I'll try to go around all the blocks that they put up for us to do this show, okay? And without a doubt, we are the most sensitive and the most messed with site on the internet. You know this for sure. So let's go back to something. So for visual context of this article, I put a picture in the orange sky, yellow nuclear clouds, and the smoldering smoke from the nuclear cloud. And the name of this article was titled, Losing at Every Turn Against Her Adversaries. America is now threatening the world with nuclear war. This is what I said. That was July 19, 2019. And in this article, I go in depth and explain why. Why that is happening, right? Now, a few days ago, on July 22nd, Darius Shatamasivi wrote an article, and it's published on Russian Insider, says this. Pentagon's plan to keep its stranglehold on U.S. empire. Be ready to use nukes. Now, I'm going to read part of this article to show you that we are ahead of the curve when we're talking about these things because they go and read my articles, then they'll go and rewrite them. Okay? I don't get no credit for whatsoever, but it's okay. It's okay. But I want you to listen to what he's saying because the gist of what he's saying was written July 19th. All right? But in the article that I wrote, we go into the explanation of the why. Because we understand that America has no options left but to do what she's doing. Because the time is against her, brothers and sisters. I want you to understand this and understand this very clearly. This is not 40 years ago. This is not 80 years ago. She does not have that time that she had 40 and 80 years ago. We are moving towards the end of American domination. We're moving towards the end of white or Western imperialism. And they're doing everything that they can to prevent the stalling and the falling and the decline of American and Western power, okay? Because we're living in a changing world. This is the judgment, black man and black woman. Let's go into this article real quick, okay? The article is titled, Pentagon's Plan to Keep Its Stranglehold on U.S. Empire. Be ready to use nukes. Now, as we read this, we're going to also go to either Message to the Black Man or Our Savior Has Arrived. I can find my Our Savior Has Arrived. I don't have it with me at this moment, but I'll try to find it in a second. But listen, it says this. The Pentagon is actively contemplating the use of nuclear weapons to win wars that need not be fought in the first place. As expected, opposition to the U.S. nuclear doctrine is almost non-existent in the mainstream. Stop right there. So what this first paragraph lays out is this, that the United States doctrine now, because she's losing her power, she's losing her influence, she's losing her position over all of the nations in the world, as long as she was able to beat them militarily head up, we would not fathom using nuclear weapons unless it was in a second strike retaliation. Remember that? Even though she still had her mad doctrine, she kept telling the people that the thought of using nuclear weapons is suicidal. No one could survive a nuclear holocaust or nuclear war, right? But in this article here, the first paragraph tells you the Pentagon is actively, that means that their brain, their planning, and all of their power is going towards coming up with some concept, some idea of how to use nuclear weapons to win wars. Listen to this that comes after that. That need not be fought in the first place. So now you're going to start a war that you can't win, and because you're getting smacked in your face, right, you pull out your gun. You go in somebody else's neighborhood talking all of this mess, trying to punk them, and when they're no longer punk and they put a black eye and a fat lip on you, then you want to pull out your piece because right now they don't have a piece to pull out. That's the sign of a coward, a punk. Is that not right? You know what I'm talking about in street terms. But let's go further. As expected, opposition to the U.S. nuclear doctrine is almost non-existent in the mainstream media. That means why? Because the mainstream media, as I said, and alternative media too, and alternative media too, are the scribes of today. They will only go so far in their condemnation of empire, in their condemnation of colonialism. You will hear on one half, they're talking about humanitarianism, right? And they'll talk about we need not fight war. But when the war starts, they jump on the side of the people who they had just condemned. Is that not right? We must be patriots. When the war starts, we must all be on the same side. We must all be united. Is that not what they say? I'm asking. Or am I making this stuff up? Right? Let's go further. It used to be the case that the idea of using nuclear weapons in a real-world conflict was such a taboo idea that no one was ever openly, see, behind the scenes they were, but no one was ever openly to contemplate it. We need only look back to the end of World War II to realize how catastrophic and harmful nuclear weapons can be on civilian populations. Yet we shouldn't have had the blueprint of Nagasaki and Hiroshima to know that the use of nuclear weapons would be a frightening and a criminal act. So stop right there. So not only would it be frightening, it would be an act of criminality. It's a criminal act. That means whoever perpetrated is a criminal, right? Not just to use them, but to contemplate it, right? I'm talking to you. Why does the Bible call America and the Western world the bloodshed? The mission maker, right? I'm asking you these things because a lot of this stuff is being addressed in here, okay? Hey, brothers and sisters, I'm gonna put you on the, I have a call coming in. I'm gonna put you on a clip real quick, and I'm gonna come right back to you, okay?
After the Second World War, the United States, having defeated Imperial Japan in the East and Nazi Germany in the West, and having replaced the United Kingdom as leader of the Western Alliance, became the world's paramount imperialist power. It inherited the mantle of Japan's greater East Asian co-prosperity sphere in East and Southeast Asia, the Third Reich on continental Europe, and Britain's global empire upon which the sun never set. The only thing that stood in the way of its total global domination was the mighty Soviet Union, which, after great sacrifice, had turned the tide of battle against Germany and set the stage for its ultimate defeat. The implosion of the Soviet Union in the 1990s allowed the U.S. its unipolar moment. It was, as some declared, the end of history. No force on earth could stand in its way.
Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. They muted my mic again. I want to apologize. They're doing it again. I was saying to you all, I started reading the article again. I thought it was showing me that I wasn't muted. And then all of a sudden it showed up that I was muted. So I know automatically that you didn't get what I was saying. But let me rephrase. The call that I had to take was a call about the phone line. Like I told you at the beginning of the show, they're doing something on the phone line. So I cannot use the phone right now because they're doing a check on the phone line, as they've done dozens of times before. But I had to answer it because they told me to answer it when they called. All right, so anyway, anybody who had their phone checked, you know what I'm talking about. When there's trouble in the lines and when it's static and somebody calls, it's ringing on your end, but it's not ringing on this end. And when I'm calling out on the phone or trying to do the show, nothing but static shows up in the lines or whatever. Like, so this is what's going on with the phone line. And it just so happened to happen the night or the morning, late night, last night, early this morning before the show, okay? This is what goes on here. Well, I digress, so let's go back to this. Yet we shouldn't have had the blueprint of Nagasaki and Hiroshima to know that the use of nuclear weapons would be a frightening and criminal act. They are deadly and unnecessary, end of story. You can all say me the cliche response, but they ended a war. Firstly, the use of nuclear weapons didn't end the war. It started one, the Cold War. Secondly, anyone who knows even a little bit of history knows that Japan was on the verge of defeat. But don't take my word for it. I wasn't there. But those who were typically made the statements to the effect that use of the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki was of no material assistance in our way against Japan, in our war against Japan. The Japanese were already defeated and ready to surrender, but I digress. Stop right there. So if the use of nuclear weapons was of no material use or no material gain for America, yet they dropped not one but two atomic bombs on two different Japanese cities, is that not the act of a berserker nation? Are those acts of crimes against humanity? I'm asking. Because notice anybody that offends Britain or France or America, they hauled off to the most unjust courts in the world, the Hague. Now, how in the hell can you be dragged off to the Hague when where the Hague is in a country that has killed millions of black people and continue to hold colonies or what they call territories far away from their shores? How in the hell is this just? You understand me? Let's go further. The United States military has decided that the only chance that it has of maintaining a stranglehold over its empire is to actively contemplate the scenarios and situations in which it should deploy the use of nuclear weapons. Stop right there. Stop right there. We don't reread that paragraph. Because remember, we have been telling you that we're living in the last days of American empire. Remember, we told you that the empire is actually dead. And what you're seeing all across the globe is that twitch. You know, when a person is killed or a snake is killed, right, the muscles can contort for a long time after that. And any unknown observer would believe that the snake is still alive if they had not seen the snake killed or if they had not been around when the snake was killed, right? So the movement and the contortion of the muscles is a natural phenomenon. Even though it may appear that the snake is alive, the snake hunter knows that the snake itself is dead, and these are just the after effects of death setting on. You understand? This is what you see with America. Listen again to what it says. See, because these people write this stuff, but they don't tell you, they don't go into depth of what this stuff means. It says the United States military. So he's talking about the war planners. The war planners see that a change is on the horizon. The war planners understand that they no longer have military superiority over Russia, over China, as we told you that in this time these things would take place. He says the United States military has decided, not the government, not the politicians, but the United States military. That's the difference, isn't it? They're not just waiting around for the politicians. We're talking about the war planners, right? The war actors. The United States military has decided that the only chance, what you mean, if only, that means that she has no more options left. You understand me? Only doesn't give you any more options. The only chance it has of maintaining a stranglehold over its empire is to actively contemplate the scenarios and situations in which it should deploy the use of nuclear weapons. Now, if that is the only avenue, the only option to maintain supremacy, how in the hell can you do it when you have military peers that have what you have nuclear-wise? Not only have you lost your edge technologically, economically, and internationally in a political arena, but now you have peers on a nuclear level with you. Russia, contrary to most reports, Russia has the largest inventory of nuclear weapons on the face of the planet. They don't count non-strategic nuclear weapons as nuclear weapons. That's something that you can just drop. They have thousands of them that you can just drop that are not counted in the strategic counting of nuclear weapons. So if you have an adversary that has now caught up with you militarily, one who is sealing at the mouth trying to get to you, and your only option to defeat them is the use of nuclear weapons, but they have what you have in Israel, how in the hell can you win? I'm asking you this. Because remember, this goes back to something. This goes back to something. That thermonuclear exchange that will take place in Europe. This is why America is deploying all types of weaponry. This is why America is deploying all types. This is why she pulled out of all of those nuclear treaties. This is why she pulled out of all of those missiles treaties. Because she doesn't want her hands tied. Because she understands prophecy in a way that you don't. She understands that her last stand internationally will be in Europe. She will be defeated in the Middle East and North African region. She will be defeated, brothers and sisters. You might not see it because you believe the hype of the newspapers. You believe all the bluster, the bravado and bluster of the empire. But she is, as a matter of fact, she's suffering loss after loss after loss. How in the hell can she maintain herself when she's losing her most strategic ally in the Middle East? Turkey. Right? They only chose Turkey because of its geostrategic positioning. They never wanted a Muslim nation in NATO. But they thought if they can control the leaders who came in Turkey, then they could beat prophecy. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not to be made a liar when he says eventually Turkey will fight on the side of the Muslims. We see everything positioning itself for this, right? Talk back to your brother. I know some of you mad, but smile. This is your day. It's a very beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. All praise is due to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, as we look at this thing, notice that America is in her doctrine as she's laying it out in code. She's telling you that she is no longer this so-called world's only superpower. She's no longer in this position that she used to boast and brag about 5-7 years ago when she said, we are 10 years to 20 years. And when she said she was 1 or 2 decades ahead of our nearest rival, we spend more than the total top 200 people, or what is it, 20 nations together on military. But the spending is a corruption of spending. You spend $500 on a hammer, $65 on a screw. This is why you don't get the bang for the buck. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was talking about, the corruption of the empire. This is what he was talking about. Matter of fact, he told I think it's 169. He talked about the correction of them will come back to hunt them. I believe it's page 169, Fall of America. Oh, yeah, 168, excuse me, I'm sorry. And it's called The House Doomed to Fall. And he says, we cannot deny the fact that the Christian West, remember, that's what they say all the time, the Christian West. In reality, they're talking about white folks. That's what they, that's called for white folks, black man and black woman. They never accepted you as no Christian. Why do you think they outlawed you reading the Bible for 100 years? Anybody who caught reading it, any slave caught, would be killed. They never accepted you. But yet you know better about the Bible than they do. But let's go further. We cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. So, let us see if this is correct. Let us see, okay? Because they have dominated the nations for decades, for centuries, as it was given to them to do through prophecy. Militarily, right? They built up their arsenals. They spread it out across the world. They forced upon other nations their own corrupt politics. Matter of fact, they're still doing it today. We need a democratic Venezuela, right? As though their political system is not corrupted. We must have a democratic Iraq, a democratic Syria, forcing on the other people something that they themselves don't have. Because this system is corrupt as hell. But listen, let's see whether or not Elijah Muhammad is right. From their own political system, right, greed plays a very important role. Power plays a very important role. This is why they would sell, they would make deadly weapons. And for out of greed, they would sell these weapons to other nations. And then these other nations will improve on these weapons. And then when America goes to try to blow these nations up, they have something for America. And America says, well, that's our technology. They just reverse engineer. Well, you sold it to them. Right? You might not have sold it to that government, but you sold it to the puppet government that you had in position before they were overthrown by the masses of the people. And when the new government got in, they took your weaponry and they reverse engineered it, and then they improved upon its weaknesses and they used it against you. Right? Is that not right? Well, let us look at the economics front. Okay? They have imposed their paper currency on everybody. And when they had constraints to the paper currency, out of greed and out of a demand and lust for power and total power, they unhinged their global system from gold and silver. Did they not do that? And they thought that they can print up paper infinitum, and this would keep the empire going forever. Now, we're looking at the repercussions of what took place in the 60s and in the 70s as they weaned the currency off of the gold and silver standard. What? What did Elijah Muhammad say? Let's go back to that so that you can get a good understanding. We cannot deny the fact that the Christian West is responsible for this universal corruption in the land and sea. From the same corruption that their own hands have wrought will come their doom. Well, America is the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world, right? What would they say? They say only 4 or 6 years out of America's history that she has not been in open war. Great Britain or the UK or England, whatever the hell you want to call that wicked nation, the same as can be said of her. I'm talking to you. I'm showing you that what Elijah Muhammad said, you can point to it right out there. It's clear cut. Let's go further. Remember the show that we're looking at. No more options left for the empire. America's playing a dead man's hand. And she's playing a losing hand at that. Because remember also, I believe the dead man hand not only refers to what I told you at the beginning when it talks about the nuclear option, when nothing else is left, but it's also one of the sheriffs of the Old West was killed with what they call the dead man's hand. So this is it's supposed to be a symbol of bad luck also. But we don't but we know what that means. But anyway, I'm just using it to show you that all signs are pointing towards the end of an era, of a global governance, of a world. We're looking at universal change going on. Do you not see all of the earthquakes in diverse places all across the world? Right? Do you not see all the eruption of volcanoes and all of these so-called solar storms and comets, right, and meteorites? I remember as a child, they used, and this was taught, and they may not teach this no more in school. I don't know their curriculum. But they used to say you wouldn't see a comet, but every so many years, 10 to 70 years, something like that. I cannot remember. And now you see them every couple weeks, every month. Is that not right? This is to show you about the signs in the heaven and the earth bearing witness to something that is going on. I was reading another article that was talking about a change that is going on. And they, I think they used the number 780,000 years, right? But they were doing the calculation, and we knew the calculation was off. But we were telling you that these changes that are going on happen every 25,000 years, these universal changes. And when they used this calculation of 780,000 years, they used it towards something that I cannot recall, but it was based off what Elijah Muhammad was telling you about the 76 to 78 trillion years of the black nation. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this white man is giving you signs and wonders. He's telling you, and knowing certain terms, this is why he's going to say, I only called you. You came. I had no authority whatsoever over you. You can get access to this truth. We let shows like that on the air. You can read the websites. You can read the books. You can look at, listen to the tape. But you instead, you want to look at Atlanta Housewives. You want to look at the NBA. You want to look at the NFL. This is what you wanted to do with your spare time. So blame me not. Blame yourselves. This is what that stuff is talking about in the scriptures, brothers and sisters. I'm putting it in layman's terms so that you can understand these things. By the grace of God, through the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. But let us go further in this, okay? Now, we're going to scroll down a little bit. I'm going to keep reading this because I want you to hear what they're saying. The United States military has decided that the only chance that it has of maintaining a stranglehold over its empire is to actively contemplate the scenarios and situations in which it should deploy the use of nuclear weapons. According to the Pentagon, June Nuclear Operations or Joint Publication 372, which was unsurprisingly made private not long after its release, the U.S. believes that developing nuclear contingency plans sends an important signal to adversaries and enemies that the U.S. has the capability and willingness to employ nuclear weapons to defend itself and its allies and partners, meaning the black male, the white male people, to hold the barrel of a gun at your throat. If we turn away from your dollar, I'm going to kill you if you turn away from my dollar. I'm a madman on a mad spree of killing. That's what he's saying. If you try to take my position as the number one power, I'm going to kill everybody, or at least I'm going to try. This is what he said. This is what they're saying, black man. Black man's right there. You can't say I'm not saying what they're saying for you to understand it because it's right there. Let's go a little further. Nuclear weapons capabilities constitute a vital element of national defense. So if it's a vital element of national defense, then why the hell are you harassing North Korea about nuclear weapons? Why is it that you and your allies need this as a vital instrument of national defense and nobody else needs it? This is so that you can hold the barrel of a gun at somebody that only has a rock or a stick. That's what it means. You and Britain and France, the colonial powers, and the rest of them want to hold the world hostage through the barrel of a gun. You don't want Iran to have what you have, so you can't park it. You don't want North Korea to have what you have, because that means you can't park it, because if you use yours, they'll use theirs. Right? You understand this? Let's go further. We have to read between the lines. We have to read what is really being said. Because a lot of times they put this stuff out here and it goes over your head. And remember, I talked about these things first and more in depth in that article, losing at every turn against an adversary. America is now threatening the world with nuclear war. And also, brothers and sisters, you need to go and sign up for the premium and read these articles that came out yesterday called The Middle Eastern Outlook. Everything is shaping up for war, part one and part two. And if you go in there, you'll see what's going on in the Middle East and North Africa and in Asia and why it's going on and what will be the outcome of these moves that are taking place, okay? I want you to understand these things. Now, let's go further. It says, nuclear weapons capabilities constitute a vital element of national defense, the document states. Nuclear operations are those activities within the range of military operations to include deterrence, crisis response, strike assessment, and return to stability. How the hell are you going to return to stability when you didn't just use a nuclear weapon? Huh? But let's go further. The Pentagon apparently believes that it is necessary and prudent. It's prudent. Listen, prudent to pre-plan nuclear employment options for contingency plans prior to a crisis. Stop right there for a minute. What crisis? And why do they think that it's prudent and necessary? Because a few paragraphs up, it tells you, the United States military has decided that the only chance that it has of maintaining a stranglehold over its empire is to actively contemplate the scenarios and situations in which it should deploy the use of nuclear weapons. The only way that it can maintain. I'm telling you, it's right here. So let's go further. It says, the Pentagon apparently believes that it is necessary and prudent to pre-plan nuclear employment options for contingencies prior to a crisis, which includes a means to access the anticipated effectiveness of options prior to execution, as well as a means to assess the nature and extent of unintended consequences. Having executed an option, the U.S. military is unlikely to stop there. Oh, I thought they... They're talking about returning to stability, but right now, the president said, having executed it, they're not going to stop it. They're not just going to drop one bomb. See, he says, according to the document, planning and operations must not assume use in isolation, but must plan for strike integration into the overall scheme of fires, meaning wars. Brothers and sisters, I played a clip when the phone company called. I played a clip. I'm going to go back, right, and I want you to listen to this clip again. And this clip is called, and I didn't name this clip, but it's called, and it's courtesy of Press TV, it's called U.S., a Militarized Society Whose Life's Blood is War. And this is from a U.S. scholar talking about this. And it's only, 3 minutes, so I want you to pay close attention. Then after that, we're going to come back and read a little bit because this article is pretty long. Well, it's not really long. It has about 6 or 7 more paragraphs. But when I'm reading something to you, even when I'm reading the books of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or reading other books, you notice how when I read stuff, I'll go back over main points and we'll reread paragraphs. It's because I want you to understand what is being said to you, unlike anybody else, because other people, they exploit your ignorance or they exploit your yearning for truth. I want you to know and understand exactly what I know and understand. I want you to see these things for what they are, because it's no fun when you're lonely and understanding and seeing what's going on while your people are being exploited and being walked to the slaughter. So I want you to pay close attention to this, because we live in perilous times, and times unlike any other time before. And as we talk about this, it is imperative that you remember what we just read. It's imperative, because this shows beyond a shadow of a doubt that America and her military planners know that we're at the end of days for the American empire. She has no more options. What it says, military planners, see this as the only option, right? Only. They have no more ways to turn. They are now straightjacketed. They can't look to the left, to the right, or behind. They only can see right what's in front of them. They have no foresight because that was taken from them. And they truly believe that they can win a war, a nuclear war. But I'm going to tell you this. When the nuclear war comes, Europe will be destroyed. Unlike anything you've seen before, the levels of destruction will pay European nations back for the hell that they have plagued the black, the brown, the red, and the yellow nations for years, for decades, for centuries. All of this, the stench of death will be in the air in Europe. This is why they're moving all of their weaponry. Why do you think Allah allowed for the Cold War to so-called end? It didn't end. Why did you think Allah allowed them to remove that so-called Iron Curtain? Why did you think Allah allowed for Russia to believe America's hype and then allow for America to try to take advantage of her position and then incorporate former Soviet states into the NATO alliance, pushing her borders forward towards the east, more towards Russia's borders? Why do you think that was happening? Why do you think that America and Russia are at each other's hands right now? Why do you think Russia is teaming up with allies outside of America? Why do you think that Russia is trying to cement trade with China? Why do you think these things are happening? Why do you think that they're having snap drills? Last year had the largest snap drill ever in the history of Russia or the Soviet Union. Why did, out of the blue, Putin had snap drills in four military districts? Now, I want you to understand something. Russia is the largest nation on earth. It is almost three times the size of the United States itself. So these military districts are not like a state like Alabama or like Florida or something like this. These are huge areas of land. And all of them are doing it simultaneously. And at the same time, they're deploying more weapons to Belarus, to Armenia, right? To Azerbaijan. To try to shore up their defenses to the Crimean Peninsula. These things are taking place at the same time America is trucking in tanks, hardening bunkers in Germany and into Eastern Europe. This is going on right under your nose because the empire does not have any more options left. America's playing the dead man's hand. I want you to listen closely to what this guy said, and I'll be right back after this break, okay? I want you to pay close. I'm going to mute my mic. Because I got these earphones on, and I don't want you to hear me coughing or drinking water. I want you to hear what he has to say. So pay close attention to this three-minute clip.
After the Second World War, the United States, having defeated Imperial Japan in the east and Nazi Germany in the west, and having replaced the United Kingdom as leader of the Western Alliance, became the world's paramount imperialist power. It inherited the mantle of Japan's greater East Asian co-prosperity sphere in East and Southeast Asia, the Third Reich on continental Europe, and Britain's global empire upon which the sun never set. The only thing that stood in the way of its total global domination was the mighty Soviet Union, which, after great sacrifice, had turned the tide of battle against Germany and set the stage for its ultimate defeat. The implosion of the Soviet Union in the 1990s allowed the U.S. its unipolar moment. It was, as some declared, the end of history. No force on earth could stand in its way, or so it was thought. But the wheel of history continued to turn, and in the East, a new force began to emerge. Out of the ruins of nearly two centuries of decline, fragmentation, and conquest arose a new colossus, the People's Republic of China. The U.S. gained its position by waging war. It retains its position by waging war. Its economy is a war economy. Over 60% of its discretionary spending is spent on the military. War is its lifeblood. And a militarized society needs an enemy to sustain itself. First the USSR, then Muslims, and now China. China's rise, on the other hand, was not based on military conquest, but by dint of hard work. China marshaled its resources and literally pulled itself up by its bootstraps by planning and investment. It does not want to squander what it has achieved by engaging in military adventurism. But its bitter history mandates that it will defend its dignity and sovereignty at all costs. The U.S. talks about freedom of navigation and abiding by international law, when in fact it has divided the world into six geographic combatant commands and demands that the world kowtow to its military hegemony. The current naval exercises in the Pacific are an expression of U.S. command and control of the Indo-Pacific region. It is merely flexing its muscles and is meant to intimidate its rivals. It has nothing to do with regional security or rule of law. In truth, it works against those goals and is a last-ditch attempt to hold on to its fading empire.
So you hear what he said? He said, all she is a militarized society whose life's blood is war, and she is creating war and prosecuting war under the cover of fighting war to try to hold on to its fallen and failing empire. This is what they're saying. The same thing we've been telling you for over 10 years on the air that no other people are talking about. We're telling you this, and now you hear the scholars of the white man's world, the scholars of America telling you these things. What did Elijah Muhammad say on page 128 of Message to the Black Man? According to the word of Allah and the history of the world, since the grafting of the Caucasian race 6,000 years ago, they have caused more bloodshed than any people known to the black nation. Born murderers. They weren't just made into this. They were born murderers. Their very nature is to murder. If you think it's a lie, look around what's going on. Who imposed these opium crises in China? Who the opioid crisis in America? Who is bringing in drugs left and right in America? But who gets the penalties of the drug crisis? Who gets the blowback effect of the drug crisis? It's you and I. But we don't. Now, think about this. I want you to pay close attention to this because sometimes we don't think. And sometimes we think, but we don't think deep enough. You don't control no borders, no satellites, no submarines, no train stations, no ships. Yet the dope keeps coming, and it keeps flooding your community, which is ransacked in the black community. They're telling you that they can spot a penny from their satellite in space, but they can't spot a cargo ship. Matter of fact, Goldman Sachs was just caught red-handed a week ago. Goldman Sachs, the so-called banking company, was caught with a shipping container full of cocaine. The ship, they took the cocaine and allowed the ship to keep on going. Isn't that something? But you get caught with a car full of cocaine and see if they just gonna confiscate the cocaine and let you keep on trucking. Do you understand this? These people are insane, and their society is insane, and their way of governance is insane. And if you accept this way of life, you're insane. So listen, it goes further and says, the Bible and Holy Quran Sharif are full of teachings of this bloody race of people. They shed the lifeblood of all life, even their own, and are scientists at deceiving black people. That's what they are. Now this man says that. Now, let's see if Elijah Muhammad's right on this. Go to the European nations, including America, including, how did Australia come about? The genocide of what? The black aborigines there, right? It was a penal colony for Britain, right? How did New Zealand come about? It was a penal colony for Britain, right? And the extermination of the aborigines there, right? How did America come about? Right? Britain came in, right? And trading off. And what happened? It was an extermination of Indians. How did South America, Central America, and the Caribs come about? Through the extermination of the indigenous population. How did white people come into Africa and claim white farmers are being slaughtered? Hell, this is just a repercussion of you being there. Illegally. You are an illegal occupier wherever you are in Africa, wherever you are in Asia, wherever you are in South and Central America and the Caribs, you are an illegal occupier. And if you are killed or slaughtered, that is because you refuse to go back to Europe. Let's go to our Savior has arrived for a minute, because they are bloodshedders. I want you to look at this, because we don't look at these things because we want to be accepted in the so-called civilized world. Civilized world that's killing people by the masses. A civilized world where America is setting up biological and chemical warfare stations all across the world. How do you think Ebola is breaking out? If Ebola is not a manufactured crisis, it's not a manufactured virus, then why the hell does the United States have a patent on it? Huh? You talk back to me. Why is it that these nations that America went in so-called to try to help with their bio labs are now infected with swine fever, right? The African swine flu. They give it all of these names about Africa and Asia when they are the ones who are creating these diseases and these viruses, right? And they're specifically tailored to the genetics of black, brown, and red, and yellow people. If you think I'm lying, go Google it. It should still be on your MSM. But let's go further. If you don't believe they bloodshed, now remember what we just read here. It's so much I have to talk. I got like, honestly, I got like 21 clips I need to play, but I know I'm not going to get to it. I'm still on the first article that I wanted to share with you all. But it takes so much. I hate to leave things out that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we have to sweep up as we go so that we don't need another man to come behind us and do the job. So this is why I give you so much explanation. This is why I give you so many examples. I'm the king. I'm the king when it comes to giving you examples, right? To give you analogies. I'm the king of that. And it comes right out, just as easy. But I want you to listen to this. And remember what we just read. Due to the presence of a large person, now we got a problem here. Because it's due to something. America's falling, and America's enacting these plans due to something. Due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purposes to take over his own, it brings us hourly to a showdown of who shall rule the nations of earth. Now we see that we had a showdown now. It's high noon, baby, on Judgment Day. You don't realize it. It's high noon on Judgment Day. And that nation of the earth are at a showdown of who shall rule. Don't you see them jockeying for power and positioning? Huh? Don't you see this all over the world? They're jockeying for position politically, for economically, trade-wise. They're jockeying militarily. They're jockeying for position geopolitically. They're jockeying for position right in space. They're doing all of this thing to be the preeminent power. But this is a new day and a new time. And a new power is on the scene. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells you, due to the presence of Allah in person, Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, and his aims and purpose to take over his own. See, they don't want him to take over his own. Why? Because his own is everything. And we are the beneficiaries of him taking over his own. See, the black man and woman have been the memory gland for the entire world. Everybody sucked off us and got full while we ourselves were hungry. If you look into the black communities, you see it. Asian people come in there, show you little to no respect, talking their own language over you because they don't respect you. Indian people set up in your, do you think you can go and set up in the Indian neighborhood, your business, and get them to support you? No. Everybody sets up in our neighborhood because they know we don't buy black, but we'll buy everybody else. But due to the presence of Allah, this all is changing, and this is throwing the world upside down. So listen what it says here. The present world, what world? And in parentheticals or parentheses, for those of you who don't know what parentheticals are, white people have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling as shown by their preparation made for the total destruction of the human family of earth. Stop right there. What did the white man say about his planning Let's go back. We got to revisit this. We might not get to the whole article, but we got to revisit certain things because we've proven Elijah Muhammad. We're proving what's going on, okay? This is what we do, and we do it very good. But listen, he says, let's go down some. Let's restart it here. Remember what we said, that this the U.S. said that their doctrine is full spectrum, right? I'm trying to go back and pull up something for you, okay? Here it is right here. I'm going to read something again in this book, then I'm going to read what it said here. Over. The present world, and in parentheticals, white people, so he's talking about the white people of the white world, especially the greatest pillar of the white world or white power, which is America, have had their time and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to rule or destroy the idea of someone else ruling, as shown by their preparations made for the total destruction of the human family of the earth. Stop right there for a minute. The United States military has decided that the only chance that it has of maintaining a stranglehold over its empire is to actively contemplate the scenarios and situations in which it should deploy the use of nuclear weapons. The present world, white people, have gone over their time and have, brothers and sisters, I want you to pay close attention, and have gone over their time to rule. Nevertheless, they still want to destroy the idea of someone else ruling, or as shown by their preparation made for the destruction, the total destruction of the human family. Is that not what they're saying in this? The same thing, worded different, the same meaning. Is that not right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's right here, right in front of you. And I dare any one of you to challenge me on this. 347-989-0855. Let's shake, rattle, and roll. See, I'm here to defend what I'm saying. I'm here with truth before you. We'll go further. He says, they boast that they can destroy the present total population of our earth 30 times over again and again. Remember what Trump said? Trump, what he said? We can wipe Afghanistan off the face of earth in less than 10 days. But I don't want to kill 10 million people. Hell, you're killing millions of people on a daily basis with your sanctions, with your acts of aggression and your domestic policy against black people here. As a matter of fact, you would rather cut off your nose in spite of your face, even though we've proven on this show through your government statistics that white people are by and large the largest beneficiary of all kinds of welfare, be it home aid, heating aid, corporate aid, or food stamps, or welfare. They get the largest majority. As a matter of fact, in most all of these categories, black people come second or third. You understand? And it's proportionate to our population. But you just come out with something. As a matter of fact, it was right here. Trump administration to propose rules that would cut 3.1 million more people from food stamp program. Because you think it's going to hurt us. In reality, it may hurt us a little bit, but it's going to really hurt your people. Because they are the greatest beneficiaries of it. You see, the insanity of this. And why isn't the news talking about Vice President Pence pulling out of a meeting that he had with a drug dealer? Huh? Why isn't that? You can Google it. He pulled out of a meeting that he had with a dope dealer. He was getting ready to meet with him and found out because somebody whispered in his ear that the guy was getting ready to be arrested by the federal government. And he pulled out of the meeting. The vice president. You see, this is crazy. You think, what would that have been? Wouldn't they have arrested, if that was you, wouldn't they still would have arrested you on conspiracy charge? That's what they use that conspiracy charge for, even though you may not have had nothing to do with it. Because you knew the president that they were after, you had a certain meeting with them, and then you're pulling out of the meeting looking shaky, that's conspiracy. According to the federal government, isn't it? But we don't see him in handcuffs right now, do we? You see these retractable laws Elijah Muhammad was talking about. All praise is due to Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. No more options left for the empire. America's playing the dead man's hand. Let's go further. And I'm looking up at the clock, man. It's like 20 minutes left. My God, time flies by when you're teaching truth. So he goes further and says, we know that they will not be able to destroy at one time. So America would have built up a weapon being able to destroy the world 30 times over. She won't be able to do it one time because the destination for her weapons that she has and that she thinks that she's going to deploy and use on other people will be in the European theater of war. That's where that's going. The holy scientists of Islam will prevent this war from spreading like that. Brothers and sisters, I don't think you understand. See, a lot of you didn't get this stuff. Brothers, I'm so glad. Sisters, I'm so glad that I had a mentor who was straight about Elijah Muhammad and who would just teach you the truth and prove to you. I'm so glad. And would go into the depths of these things. But let's go further. But they are prepared to do so should they be given a chance. See, they know they aren't going to be able to do it, but this is why they were talking about in the doctors. They were contemplating. See, they were doing preparations mentally, and they were trying to survey everything to see what would be the best option if a law slips here, if a law slips there, if the scientists slip here. They don't slip it. God don't step on banana peels. God don't fall on oil slicks. His word is born. And what he pronounces shall be done, as we see today in the fall of America and the collapse of Western domination. It is clear as can be. Right? But what Muhammad says, this is very hard for you to listen to or to accept from a man who stands at your door telling you that he is prepared to destroy you again and again and blast you out of your own home, own house. That's what he's doing. See, when we do a comparative study or comparative analysis side by side to what they're saying, you get the gist of what they're saying. But without Elijah Muhammad as the Rosetta Stone, you are just stuck in a buffer zone like the rest of them. But when you get it and you see it being pronounced by Elijah Muhammad, you say, this is why this happened. This is why this is going on. Why didn't they say that? This shows you that they are hiding something purposely from you. Because you will be the greatest benefactor of what's going on. Okay? Now let's go further. Let's scroll down because I've been scrolling up and scrolling down. I might have to skip a few things. I might have to skip a few things to try to get this read. I didn't know we were still on this article. I read the article last night, and then right as the show was starting, I said, you know what? Let me go into this article real quick and read to the people. I'm thinking we're going to be real quick, not knowing that this article would take up most of the show because of the explanation and how we can show and prove to you what Elijah Muhammad said, even in this article that they wrote. Okay? But this will call for a part two Thursday if they don't block us. So we'll get to some of the clips. We'll get to a conversation. Maybe some of the brothers will call in. And raise their hand and comment, and then because we got a lot of callers on the line, and maybe guests who are listening will comment. But let me forewarn the guests who are not familiar with the show. If you have a slick tongue, I don't mind embarrassing you live on the air. Okay. All is fair in love and war. Let's go further on this. It says, according to the Pentagon's June Nuclear Options or Joint Publication, I read that part right there. No, it said 372, which was unsurprisingly made private not long after its release. Yes, I did read this. The U.S. believes that developing nuclear contingency plans sends an important signal to adversaries and enemies alike. Now, let me scroll down because I want to get to certain parts before this time runs out, okay? It says, let's go. Having executed an option, the U.S. military is unlikely to stop there. According to the document, planning and operations must not assume use in isolation, but must plan for strike integration into overall schemes of fire. The document also states that there may be a requirement to strike additional follow-on or emerging targets in support of war termination or other strategic objectives. Commanders must maintain the capability to rapidly identify and strike previously unidentified or newly emerging targets. What are they talking about? What are the newly emerging or unidentified or unseen targets that they're talking about in their war. They are making preparations to fight God. They are making preparations to try to fight the mother plane and the baby ship. This is what they're talking about. But let's go a little further. Forget the Iran deal. Where is the U.S. nuclear deal? Where is the Joint Comprehensive Action Plan, plan of action to stop global annihilation by nuclear holocaust by a former reality TV star billionaire? The spectrum of nuclear warfare may range from tactical applications, the document eerily confirms, to limited regional use, what I tell you about these regional wars, to global employment by friendly forces and or enemies. Now, let me stop right there for a minute, all right? Because I hear a lot of you so-called, like the white man say, you Muslims. You Muslims. We're Muslims, but they say Muslims. I hear a lot of you are fretting and complaining that Donald Trump is the president of the United States. You're going around screaming and crying and protesting that he's the president of the United States when this is one of the best things that can happen for the black man. Because he is deranged. Because the policies of America are being exposed. Remember, if America doesn't get exposed, if America doesn't stretch a military, if America does not threaten the nation, if America does not act criminally toward allies and enemies alike, the nations won't turn against a dollar. If a dollar does not decline and fall, the black man and woman of America does not go free. You are a direct beneficiary of Donald Trump being president of the United States, because this means that we're living in the fall and the end of America, the Republic. I think you need to understand these things, because some of you don't. We need Hillary Clinton. She crazy as hell, too. We need this Democrat. It does not matter. There's two sides to the same coin. You understand? I know I get a lot of flack because a lot of people get mad at me because I point out Barack Obama. And now a lot of people get mad at me because of what I'm saying about Donald Trump. But this maniac must be put in place. As a matter of fact, Donald Barack Obama said that in the end of America, that they would have a crazy leader. He says this. Donald Barack Obama is telling you this. And you mad because it's happening. And yet it's to your benefit. You tell me, see, this is what I know you don't understand scripture. This is how I know you don't understand prophecy. This is how I know you don't understand the time that you're living in. You talk Elijah Muhammad. You talk Islam big. But you don't understand what is taking place right now, right here, for your benefit. No more options left for the empire. America is playing the dead man's hand. I want you to understand these things. See, I'm willing to take the fight. I don't care about you talking about me. I don't care about you lambasting me. I know there's a lot of Muslims. Listen, there's a lot of the Muslims hate me, dislike me. They dislike me not because I've done something wrong to them. It's because I don't kowtow. I don't kiss up. I'm not trying to be in their favor. I'm not trying to compromise what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught to be in their favor. I'm going to tell it like it is, or like they say in the street. I'm going to tell it like a T.I. is, and you can accept it or reject it. I don't care. You don't put food on my table. You don't pay light bills. You have no friendly relations with me, so I really don't care. I'm just trying to reach the people who this may benefit. Okay? You can like it or hate it. I don't care one way or the other. As long as I'm doing my job to get it out to you. It's immaterial for me to worry about whether or not you like me or like what I'm saying. One thing that you cannot do, two things that you cannot do. You cannot call me a liar, and you cannot bring any argument before me to dispute what I'm saying. Because if you could have, you would have done it for the last 10 years. I know it's waiting to fall. How the hell are you a Muslim and waiting for your Muslim brother to be exposed or fall? How is that possible? You got y'all fickle. Y'all hateful. Y'all still carrying around the weight and the burden of this white world. But you can't do nothing to me because I got the Lord of the world on my side. And I'm going to tell you like Jesus told that devil, kiss my behind. Get me behind me, Satan. So let's go further into this. All right? Oh, it's a beautiful time to be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, isn't it? All right, he says, right here, as the military times was astute to note, the new doctrine reflects a world in which the U.S. military is losing its technological edge over other near-peer military rivals. Just to give you a hint, the list of near-peer military rivals did not include Iran. I've been telling you that. It includes two nuclear giants in particular who are beginning to put the U.S. military on the back foot to the extent that the Pentagon has no choice. It's whoever has no choice, what is it? It's out of options, isn't it? But to release documents which call for the employment of nuclear weapons essential to mission success. The urge to deploy the use of nuclear weapons only makes sense if you live in a world in which you must always be prepared to win a war against every potential adversary. Americans amongst you reading this may be thinking, yeah, so what? But take it from the rest of us who don't wake up every morning swearing allegiance to a flag that too many others represent death and destruction, that winning wars tends to be less of a focus when compared to other issues such as health care, housing, climate change, and the list goes on. Perhaps if the U.S. gave up the idea that it needs to fight wars in order to predicate its survival, see, right here, it has to fight these wars, as I played that clip, because it's in its blood. That's the only way she can continue to expand the debt. It's to force people to buy her debt. And that's the only way she can project future deficits on future generations. She steals the money from tomorrow and brings it into today. That's a criminal. Isn't that a Ponzi scheme? Don't people go to jail for that? But the American economic system is built on that. So he says, perhaps if the U.S. gave up on the idea that it needs to fight wars in order to predicate its survival in the first place, it would need to contemplate such a catastrophic doctrine. Prosecuting wars on this basis also assumes that these wars are unavoidable and must be fought. In hindsight, did the wars in Vietnam, Libya, see how Libya comes into play? Iraq, Yemen, and company really need to be fought? Will the wars the U.S. cook up in the next few decades similarly and inescapably need to be fought? Not to mention that if we are being honest, the U.S. military has barely won a war since World War II anyway. What's that telling you? What's that showcasing to you? That America's power is being brought down, right? That America is losing on every turn, at every end. It's exactly what I've been saying to you, right? I'm not making up something. I'm not inventing something. I'm just letting you know the time in which we're in. As a matter of fact, let's go to Message to the Black Man. Red, I'll say we have the rise. But the rise and fall of the Christian West. The rise and fall of the Christian West. Let me say that again. The rise and fall of the Christian West. The fall of America is now visible and understandable. See, it wasn't visible when they started siphoning off the silver out of the coins after 64. Into 65, it's all up to today, except in the half dollars, they had siphoned off all of the silver until 1970 when they siphoned off the rest of the silver out of the half dollar, right? In 71, they went off the gold standard. But it wasn't as apparent because America had broken something that she called the petrodollar. Isn't that right? And now all of the economic turmoil and all of the evils that was perpetrated by taking the world off of the gold and silver standard due to greed and an insatiable appetite for power and domination, right, has led to today. And now we see these ramifications live and direct in our face with the explosion of homelessness, hunger, war, the threat of war, and all of these things. The fall of America is now visible It wasn't visible back then. You didn't understand it back then, but now you got everybody from Peterson to Gerald Clinton trying to explain to you the economic ramifications of the fiat monetary system, right? But Elijah Muhammad was telling you that in the 50s and in the 60s. But you're accepting it today from them because they don't look like you. See, anybody that looks like you, hell, I know just as much as that nigga. I put my pants on, and me and Brother Rashid laughs about this sometime. Me and Brother Gerald, Brother Rashid, I'm laughing about this sometime. Hell, I put my pants on one leg at a time just like him. Ain't nothing special about him. But you're going to accept these other people who have been corrupt in the cause and who are the direct beneficiaries of a corrupt system. And what they're doing now is they're running for the exit doors and they're trying to warn all of their brethren who would listen to them that the end is coming. The fall of America is now visible and understandable, not only in the eyes of the scholars and scientists, but even in the eyes and understanding of the ignorant. Long as the law been gradually removing the power of the great and mighty America, while few have noticed it. Remember what the article said? America has barely won any war since World War II. And she didn't really win that. Russia had come to the aid. You didn't know that, did you? It wasn't America that defeated Germany, contrary to the Western viewpoint, like they want you to believe. America has barely won any of her military engagements that she has committed around the world. Has she won Afghanistan? No. She won in Libya? Look what's going on there. Is she winning in Syria? Is she winning in Pakistan? I'm asking you, what about Vietnam? What about Laos? Huh? What about the Korean Peninsula? She has barely won any military engagement that she has exercised her military in. I'm trying to warn you because this thing is going on. So she thought that if she unhooked her dollar from the gold standard, she would empower her military and give them unlimited resources. You heard them bragging about this for years. We can fund our military. All we have to do is print dollars. See, Allah had fed them their own blood as if it was sweet wine, as the Bible tells you. They had become inebriated and drunk on the power that the dollar brought when they hooked up with that petrol dollar. They didn't see the ramifications. They didn't see the ramifications of robbing the coins of silver and the currency of gold. And now you're seeing the ramifications, but it took degrees for you to see these things. Right? So Elijah Muhammad says, long has Allah been gradually removing the power of the great and mighty America. You have noticed it. This has been done by degrees, and they do not perceive it. The Holy Quran says, He brings powerful nations to a naught. And when it is discovered, it is like a growth of cancer that has been eating at the body for many years while the patient was unaware of it. Stop right there. What are they saying now? The debt problem is inescapable. It is a mathematical impossibility for America to escape the debt bomb. Right? That's like that cancer Elijah Muhammad says. The Holy Quran says He brings powerful nations to a naught. And when it is discovered, it is like a growth of cancer that has been eating at the body for many years while the patient was unaware of it. Today, not yesterday. Today, it is visibly understood that the fall of America cannot be checked, for the foundation has been removed. What foundation? The gold and the silver standard. The monetary prudence that the government, the fiscal responsibility has been eliminated. And the sanity of the political leaders have been removed. Do you understand? So we're looking at an empire, a republic that is just a shell of itself and cannot overcome what prophecy.